All right, let's look in Proverbs chapter 22, Proverbs 22, and we're going to begin reading in verse 17. I want to share a message entitled Balancing Academic and Spiritual Growth. And if you're an educator, this is a lesson that's going to be very helpful to you. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you need to understand education and you need to understand spiritual growth also. And what we have experienced in America is a dividing asunder of both of them. And as a result of it, we have the situation that we're facing in America right now. And I think we need to go back to the basics about what is required of us when we talk about educating our children, getting an education ourselves, and also tying that together, realizing the impact of spiritual growth at the same time of getting that academic instruction. But hopefully this will be a help to you. I think whatever role you are in, whether parent, grandparent, teacher, not a teacher, a church member, whatever it may be, not a church member, I believe this will be a help going through this. Pastor Dwan had asked me to do this topic for our teacher orientation, and I was like, great, what do you do with a topic like that? And I started doing some research and digging into it, and I was just blessed as all this stuff surfaced of what we need to address in reference to education. Where are we at in education in America, and where are we going to be, or where are we heading? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 17 says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing that thou keep them within thee. They shall withdraw, withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together this morning. We're thankful that we can know the world that we live in, but also, Lord, we can know the living God who created this world that we live in. And so, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us in a special way this morning. Lord, may our hearts be tender towards you. May we be surrendered to the authority of the Word of God. And, Lord, may we truly be willing to make some very practical applications into our own life, how we're growing spiritually or lacking the growth there. Lord, we need to address that issue. Whether we're continuing to learn and gaining academic understanding or we're not, Lord, we need to address that issue because you've given us wisdom, Lord. And so I prayed you just speak to our hearts today. There may be somebody here who's not saved. May they realize there is a God in heaven who loves them and cares for them. And he created them in his image. He sent his son into this world to die that they might be forgiven of all their sin, that they might have eternal life. And so bless the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and we'll give you praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. What a wonderful passage here. Teachers face a tremendous challenge in today's world, whether it's Christian education, whether it's public school education. The challenge is great, and the challenge really is to balance your time of instruction to ensure that you're not only communicating academically to the students, but from a Christian perspective, we want to also be able to communicate spiritual things to the student also, whether it's in a Christian school or whether it's in a public school. And certainly the challenges and difficulties in the public school are greater in communicating spiritual things than what it is in a Christian school setting, but it is necessary to have both if we're going to be able to maintain a world that'll be Christ-honoring in a world that'll be balanced out in how we approach life. The problem is, in Romans chapter 1, it says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. And then the product of that was God gave them over to a reprobate mind, which means they were void of sound judgment. Remember years ago, Dr. Malone used to say, so many people are educated past the point of intelligence. And that's what the problem is. We may gain all kinds of worldly knowledge and information, but if it's gained apart from who God is, we haven't gained anything. All we've done is pile on information And we have no ability to discern what that information means in light of my life and who I am. And so it is necessary to manage our time in a way where we can fulfill instruction, not just biblically, but also academically. In our Sunday school, in our junior church, we want to be able to teach the kids in youth group, teach the kids about the Word of God. We want them to memorize Scripture, but they need to understand how does this apply in the world in which I live. And you've got to balance that out, and you've got to be able to mingle the two together so as to present a proper concept of what life is. And so I've seen it go both ways. I've seen teachers that neglect academics while overemphasizing spiritual instruction. And you put a child in an educational classroom, they're supposed to be preparing for life, and all you want them to do is memorize Bible verses. And I'm not against memorizing Bible verses, but if they don't understand how to add, they don't understand grammar, they are not aware of the world through history, what our world is that we're living in, and all you do is focus on memorizing Bible verses, you failed as a teacher. But if you flip it the other way and you have a teacher that neglects spiritual emphasis while overemphasizing academic instruction, now you got a problem the other way. Because now you got students that may have a lot of information about the world in which they live, but they have no information or knowledge or understanding of where this world came from. And so you can't have one or the other. You've got to have both blended together in a balanced type of setting. It is not saying I'm going to take time to give spiritual instruction, then I'm going to take time to give academic instruction. It is a matter of mingling the two together because the two do work hand in hand together. And it is the reality is it is develop a biblical worldview. And this is the problem among Christians. Christians have lost a biblical worldview because you may come to church and you're focused all on spiritual things. Then you go to an educational institution, and then all you're doing is focusing on academic things, and the two never come together, they never blend together, and you live your life as if God doesn't exist when you're out in the world. And it's because we have failed in balancing academic and spiritual instruction. In our text, I want to present in verse 17 of chapter 22, verse 17 and 18 is dealing with academics. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thy heart unto knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. So that's dealing with academics. You need to get knowledge. You need to get wisdom. It's fit for that to be a part of your communication, a part of your existence. But I want to present to you that verse 19 and 20 is spiritual. Notice in verse 19 it says that thy trust may be in the Lord. You may gain all kinds of knowledge and information about the world, but your trust isn't in the world. Your trust is in the Lord. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? And so I believe these four verses present to us a balancing out of academics and spiritual growth so as to be able to have a biblical worldview as we live in the world in which we live. And we have a generation of young people that absolutely have no idea what I just said. The sad thing is we have a multitude of adults who have no comprehension at all of what I just said. And then we look at the world in which we live in a real way and we say, what in the world is wrong? What is going on? Well, it started a long time ago, and I'm going to address that in a minute. But first of all, I want you to understand the structure of education as an institution. And I did not make these things up. I got these through some educators, listening to different educators talking about what education is. The structure of education as an institution, number one, involves research. The problem is this: how research is simply developing on how we produce knowledge. How do we determine what knowledge is? And the reality is that money distorts the research. You know, I remember I was in Bible college. I took a course on, what was it called? It was on research. I can't remember what it was called. Anyway, but it was on research. I know that. Amen. And the title just left me. But the whole class was about doing research. How do you do research? And when you get ready to write a research paper or a thesis, you start out with a hypothesis. And when you start out, you claim, this is what I think about this subject. From that point on, it is not your purpose just to find research to support what you think. From that point on, it's your responsibility to do honest, clear research to either defend or discredit your hypothesis. Because if you do anything else, you have written a biased report. And the problem in America today that research has been corrupted by money, research has been corrupted with false data, research has been developed and developing curricula that are absolutely out of reality because of the fact that they use the wrong data. It's corrupted data to fulfill their research. Education is research. Number two, education is teaching. Teaching is simply accepting new standards and dealing with opportunities in the classroom. But where America has developed when it deals with standards of education, every controversial subject is presented in the classroom that literally is intimidating the teacher to the point that where there are opportunities everywhere abounding, students provoking the teacher so they can catch her on their cell phone and be able to put it on Facebook. And so academic instruction has plummeted because of the failure of our society to realize that we're accountable to God. And a teacher is in the classroom to teach, whether it's in a public school setting or whether it's in a Christian school. But there's also service. Education, the structure of education as an institution, involves research, teaching, and service. And service would be clubs, would be assemblies that would be gathering together. In America today, on our colleges' campuses, if you have a speaker coming for an assembly that you disagree with, what is it? Protest and shut down and run them off the campus. And we say, well, wait a minute, this is an educational institute. No, it's not. Because education as an institution involves service. And you might not like what somebody says, but they have the right to say it. Not only does it deal with service, it deals with credentialing. In other words, education as an institution lays out the credentials for those that are involved in education. Accepting curriculum requires conformity to receive accreditation. If you disagree, it becomes hate speech. The credentials that are now being presented, I was listening and looking up some research on this. Many teachers are struggling who are Christians to get their credentials as a teaching certificate because they will not support the LGBT crowd. They will not support other type of immoral things. They're a Christian. They want to live on and teach and live their life as a Christian. And their jobs are in jeopardy because the education as an institution is saying, we'll establish the credentials and you'll be what we tell you to be or you don't have a job. I'm sorry, that's not education. It's not education. And then, of course, the fifth thing is administration. That's just simply decisions that are made on a principal level of managing and running the school. So I want you to understand education as an institution. The problem is there's been a spiritual breakdown in reference to the educational system as an institution. And it started back in 1962. Prayer was removed from the public schools. We all know that. 1963, Bible reading was removed from the public schools. Now, I can remember going to school and we read the Bible. We opened up in prayer, and there was no problem at all. But you can't do that now. And there's five consequences of the spiritual breakdown on education as an institution. And here they are. Number one, they've seen since 1962 and 63, an academic achievement has plummeted. Now, I understand how we work data, and I understand the twisting of data, but the reality is the quality of education, the children, as far as what they're learning, has plummeted. I experience that continually every year because of kids coming into our school, and they are not on grade level. Kids that transfer into our school are at least 1 to 2 years behind where they should be. And you say, why is that? Because of the fact we removed God. There's no balance of spiritual things and academic things in the schools. And as a result of it, we have seen for the last 40, 50 years a rapid decline academically. Number two, increased rate in out-of-wedlock births. So what does that have to do with education? Has everything to do with education. You were not teaching children how to be moral agents for God in the classroom. They're going to live and do whatever they want. And then you promote sex education and everything else that goes on in the public arena. And you say, why in the world are kids acting like a bunch of animals? I'll tell you why. We've taught them to do that. There's an increase in legal drug use. There's an increase in juvenile crime. There's a deterioration of school behavior. And this is a real problem. Now, for us to sit and say we don't have a problem is not going to solve the problem. But as adults, as parents, as grandparents, as educators, whatever your role may be, something has got to be done because of the fact that we literally are in a generation that absolutely does not know God, nor do they want to know God. Right. Academic failure. Here's some things, some statistics. I always like going through statistics. Fills up the time, amen? These are shocking. 51% of teens, and some of these I think are low because they were taken about 2 or 3 years ago. And I watch things trending and things changing, so some of these are low. 51% of teens ages 13 to 17 use social media sites daily. I think that's higher than that now. 71% of teens are on Facebook. I think that's drastically higher. 52%, this is definitely higher, 52% use Instagram. But when these were taken, this is the percentages they had. 56% of teens say that photos of themselves or selfies receive their most likes compared to everything else. How many likes you got? Likes. Their life consists of likes. And woe be somebody says, you're not my friend anymore. 95% of teens have access to a smartphone or iPad or whatever. 45% of teens state that they are online constantly. And I want to submit to you, it's higher than that. I watch our kids. Our kids are not allowed to have their cell phones in our school. And it's amazing. They're walking into school and they put it in the drawer and the bell rings at 3:10. I was reading an article, I don't know, probably about a month ago, and it was talking about the addiction of the cell phone and texting. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? It has everything to do. This is the reality of who we are and what we are. By age 8, 96% of children have watched television, 90% have used a computer, 81% have played console video games or other types of games. 60% have played games or used apps on a portable device by the age 8. It is the most ludicrous thing I've ever seen as I stand at the door and watch elementary kids come in and have cell phones. They don't need a cell phone. They say that approximately 32 million adults in America are considered to be illiterate. About 14% of the entire adult population in America cannot read. Now, folks, this is a problem. 21% of adults in the U.S. read below a fifth grade reading level. I can identify with that. When I left elementary school and I went to high school, went into ninth grade, I was on a fifth grade reading level. That's how good the elementary school I went to did in teaching me how to read. Praise God, my mom and dad had wisdom enough to take and put me in some speed reading classes and reading comprehension classes to get me up where I needed to be so that I could do high school work. But 21% of adults in America are reading below a fifth grade level. This was shocking. 19% of high school graduates cannot read. 19%. I was just looking at the situation with cursive writing. Common Core came out. Common Core does not require cursive writing. And as a result of it, we have schools that do not teach cursive writing. And they said this in the article, that there are multitudes of people right now transcribing documents that are in cursive writing to data on the computers because our generation of kids today cannot read the documents. Isn't education wonderful? If you think we need to do something, you're right. We need to do something. The dangers of an unbalanced approach to education in 2 Timothy 3 notices a loss of humility, says that they'll be without, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. If you don't think people are lovers of their own selves, everything's about selfies. Everything's about me. The world revolves around me. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. And that's exactly what we see in America today because of the fact we took God out of the educational system. I know some people think I'm radical and some people think I'm nuts, but I believe the answer to America is to put God back in our public schools. Put God back in our neighborhoods. Put God back in our homes again. You say, well, I don't understand why you feel that way. Just look around you, for crying out loud. Sideways or however it's going to be, amen? There's a loss of humility. There's a loss of decency. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, they would be without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers and pleasures lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. A loss of decency. There's a loss of piety. Chapter 2 Timothy 3, 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, people will be in church, but when they walk out of church, God stays at the church. Oh, they want to talk about being a Christian. They want to talk about going to heaven, but they don't want to talk about God being major influence and priority in their life, a loss of piety. And then eventually, it's a loss academically. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy and verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. A loss academically. Here's a great quote. In 2006, only half of Americans under age 44 read a book. Thus it has been stated that we are entertaining ourselves to death. I read a quote years ago, said this, you can take anything you want away from an American, but don't take away his entertainment. And so you say, why, how, what happened? This doesn't make any sense. I'll tell you what happened. We lost the balance of academic and spiritual growth in America. We removed God out of the equation. And because we removed God out of the equation, Now, everything is about man and himself, and he's always learning and always getting educated, but he never has any common knowledge or common sense, can't figure out nothing. And so we need to correct it. How are we going to correct it? You got to put it back in balance again. And so, first of all, here you go. The basic meaning of education, is God revealing his truth to mankind. And if you're going to know anything about life or about anything in this world or about yourself, you're going to have to know what God has to say about it, and since he created everything. In Psalm 19 and verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and the night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard." And so now you try to say, we're going to educate kids, and we want to say, we are educators, and then you don't talk about God's creation, and people look at everything around them and say, what is all this about? Oh, well, there was a bang, there was this, there was that, and there's no value, no worth, or whatever, because we don't start at the premise that all knowledge and understanding of life is based on God's revelation of that. Man has the ability to learn. Man has the ability to understand because God is the one who reveals his truth to mankind. So what does that mean? It means that education is beyond the mental and physical activity learned and experienced by man. We say, I hear this all the time, different people say, well, I want my kids in a public school setting, or I want my kids in this type of environment because they need to experience that. You realize education is more than experience. Education is more than getting knowledge. Education is God revealing to you what this information is about and how valuable it is and how does it impact your life. And so the basic meaning of education, it's beyond just mental and physical activity. Notice letter B is this. Basic meaning of education is action or process of learning to think God's thoughts. Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11 speaks in reference to that. Your thoughts are my thought, not my thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. And so if I'm going to be educated, there is an action, there is a process, there is a means through which I can learn about myself and learn about life and learn about the world I live in because of the fact that God is going to help me to understand his thoughts. Why did he create man? What should a family look like? What should be the relationship between a man and a woman? How should society function? You take God out of the equation, and it's anybody's thought or idea. And so education is an action or process of learning the thoughts of God. So that means it is beyond acquiring or developing skills. That's why you can have somebody with all kinds of PhDs behind their name and they couldn't figure out how to open up a can of dog food. Amen. Educate. We're talking about education. We're not just talking about acquiring knowledge. Education is the blending together academically and spiritually all that God is and what he tells man that he's supposed to be. But not only that, but it is a lifelong affirmation that incorporates every thought, experience, and activity of man. So in other words, I'll just go ahead and throw the asterisk in there. In other words, it means it is beyond formal schooling in traditional classroom or tutorial relationships. In other words, you never stop learning. People say, well, these kids always crack me up. I understand. I did the same thing. Oh, man, I can't wait till I graduate. Get out of this school. You understand? You're just starting to learn. All we do is give you the foundation and help you to understand how you can learn. But life, listen, life is a long time
of you continuing to learn, because education is not just sitting in the classroom. It is understanding who God is and what God's will is and what God's going to do in my life and how does this all apply. And now I'm living my life to the fullest of gaining the knowledge of God. So it's a lifelong affirmation, the basic meaning. Number two, the practical application of education is a comprehension of God in conformity to His will. And certainly God wants us to be conformed to His will, Luke 2, 24 and 27, John chapter 7 and verse 17, speak about us comprehending who God is and conforming to His will. So what does that mean? It means that education is beyond accomplishing human perfection and understanding the material world. So education is not just me being able to say, boy, I'll tell you one thing, I got more degrees than you. Man, I'll tell you, I've been in school forever, and I'm going to tell you one thing right now, I am perfect in my comprehension, maybe in the medical field. I'm perfect in my comprehension, how the body functions. Yeah, but you'll abuse that body if you don't understand how God wants it to function. It is more than just human perfection and grasping and understanding of the material world around us. The ultimate goal is to orient human beings biblically. Education is not, if you study history, you'll find that those that were interested in starting educational institutions were Christians. And the reason why they wanted to start educational institutions was so that their children would be able to read the Word of God. In Malachi chapter 4, in verse 4, it says, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I want to submit to you the ultimate goal in education is to orient human beings to a biblical perspective of who God is. So knowledge of God. And how do we define who God is? Is there one way to heaven? Is there one God that we worship? What about all the gods? My question is why is it you can talk about the God of all these other religions and isms, but you can't talk about the God of the Christian? See, people are so distorted and corrupted in their idea about life and everything because of the fact that they have no comprehension of who God is biblically, not what Aunt Susie thinks. Not what some teenager thinks. What does God reveal about Himself? And the ultimate goal is for us not to just get worldly information, but it's for us to get spiritual information so we know who God is, so we understand how all this worldly information works together. So the knowledge of God. Aware of humanity. Why do we need a biblical view? Because we need to be aware of humanity. And we have this whole problem with transgenderism and everything in America right now. You realize that the suicide rate among transgenders is 40%. And it's because of this. Because we have taught our children that God is not real. They don't need to know God. And however you feel in your body, whatever you want to do in your body, you can do that. But the problem is this, whether you like it or not, the cells, the chromosomes, everything that makes up the human body identifies that body either as a male or a female. I don't care if you want to be he or she or it or whatever it may be. You need to realize this, that God has declared that He made male and female. Now, if you don't have God in the equation, you cannot be aware of humanity. How am I supposed to feel good about myself if I'm having these kind of feelings that are wrong and that are out of the norm, and somebody comes along and says, oh, well, you don't have to worry about God. You can live however you want. Just do whatever you please, just as long as you feel good about yourself. And then you get involved in this type of lifestyle, and now everything goes downhill. It's not what you thought it was going to be. You've had surgery. You've taken hormones. You've done whatever, and all of a sudden, there's no satisfaction. What is left?
40% of them say suicide.
We have academically in America created America that's killing itself. Whether it be the drugs,
our wonderful governor wants to legalize pot. It's a drug. It's a drug that will steal your brain. It will destroy your life. We have so become in the church, people in the church drink alcohol, do all kinds of stuff that the world does, and they have no problem with it, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we have focused on the fact that as a Christian, we need to know and understand the world more than we need to understand who God is. And because of it, we can't comprehend who we are. When they took God out of the school, everybody went on a search for themselves in the 60s. Nobody knew who they were. They still haven't figured it out. Because you leave God out of the equation. There's got to be a balance. God's creation. Listen, how can you look at the world in which we live and be able to explain everything that's going on in the world without understanding in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? If you do not start on that premise, everything that you're going to study about the world in which we live is going to be tainted and it's going to be wrong. And so God is the author of creation. God is the author of life. God is the one that established this world in which we live, and it is God who sustains the world in which we live. But we have ultimately not only to have biblical understanding and knowledge of God, aware of humanity and God's creation, but the family, the church, the society. If you take God out of education, what is the family? Oh, family can be whatever you want to call it to be. There is actually someone who is running for the Senate who believes that incest should be legalized. So you go from being unfaithful in marriage to divorce in marriage to homosexual marriage to all kinds of any imagine you can think of about what you want to declare as being marriage, whether it's polygamy or whatever it may be, you want to declare it as that, and you say, why is the family so dysfunctional? I'll tell you why it's so functional, because we've taken God out of it. Church. The church is a holy institution. The church is the body of Christ. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We need to stop making the church a worldly institution. You say, why is all this going on in different churches? I'll tell you why. Because we're no longer biblically embracing the reality of who God is and what his will is for us. Society. And we are rapidly in America becoming a society of anarchy. When you have somebody who is a senator who in a confirmation hearing stands up and says, I'm breaking the rules. I don't care if that's the rule, I'm breaking the rule. Now, if your leaders can do that, violate principles that have established on how we're supposed to function as a society, what in the world do you think other people are going to do? I'm telling you, we're in trouble. And we are in trouble because of the fact that we have not balanced out this thing of academic and spiritual growth together. So what does that mean? If the ultimate goal is orient human beings biblically, the ultimate goal is this. It is beyond human self-development and self-fulfillment. Life, society, family, church, the world in which we live is more than me developing myself. It is more than me building up my ego. It is more than me focusing everything on myself. Life and the world in which I live is bigger and beyond that. And the knowledge and information I gain is in light of the fact that God wants me to develop a biblical understanding of all these things. And so, practical application. So here's the last point. I didn't know if I was going to get through this morning, but I think I will. The real challenge of education. There is a challenge of education. I tell you, I take my hats off to you teachers that are in the public school. Man, I tell you, I pray for you because you got a job. I did some crime symposiums years ago and over at Toms River North here, and I did that, I think, for like 4 years in a row. I could not believe the absolute disrespect out of the students who were there. Students, while I'm trying to speak, telling me, what are you doing reading from that Bible? You're not allowed to read that Bible in here. I'm allowed to read this Bible just like you're able to read something. This is America. I can read what I want. How dare you come in our schools and start preaching that word of God to us? I mean, you talk about belligerent and disrespectful, and I'm talking about 10 years ago. I'm taking bodyguards with me if I go in there again, amen? We have a real challenge. I'm telling you, it is not easy to balance out academic instruction while maintaining good, sound spiritual growth at the same time. It's a challenge. Here's the challenge. First of all, to incorporate a biblical worldview. And you must instill in your students a biblical worldview. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And that means everything you do, everything you touch, everything you experience in life, you need to be prepared by the word of God. You need to know, what does God say about biology? What does God say about family? What does he say about sociology? You say, well, that's not important. Well, I think it's important because look at the state we're in. And it's the teacher's obligation, responsibility, and privilege to sit down in front of those students that are sitting in your classroom and tell them, hey, this is what went on in history. Let me share with you the God of history. What a privilege it is for a teacher to be able to sit in the classroom and say, you know, the body is so magnificent, it's so minute, it has all these different facets and functions within it, and it's amazing how a God who spoke the world into existence created man to be this way. Incorporating a biblical worldview. We need it in the church. Letter B. Anticipate curricular inclusion. Now, let me interpret that for you. That simply means that in a Christian school, our curriculum has already incorporated the reality of God in the world in which we live in it. So the teacher doesn't have to do that on her own. But the reality is that you as a teacher be the teacher and incorporate in your curriculum the reality of who God is. You say, boy, that's going to be tough in the public school. Well, amen, I'll pray for you. Ecclesiastes 5:19 says this, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. People need to understand you didn't get where you're going because you pulled up yourself by your own bootstraps. You got where you are because God in his grace has blessed you and enabled you to have the health, the intellectual ability, whatever it may be, the skills to be able to accomplish what you're doing. So anticipate. How can you work God into your curriculum? And then letter C is just in this. Generate personal application. How do you get a biblical worldview? How do you bounce? Generate a personal application. Psalm 90 and 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Hey, students, young people, you only have so many days. In our school, right now, I think you got 170 days left for this school year. Teach us to number our days so we can make sure we can move to the next class. Amen. But wait a minute. God has given us a number of days. So, Lord, teach us to number our days. I need to generate a personal application that, wait a minute, God is real. He is on the throne. He created everything. He's the one who puts the kings on the throne. He's the one who takes the kings off the throne. He is minutely interested in everything that I experience in life. So as I'm going through this trial, as I'm going through this difficulty, as I'm preparing for this profession, this career in my life, how does God fit into it? But what we do is we approach life completely void of any thought process or any deliberate pursuing of God to enable us to accomplish what He wants to accomplish in our life. How does that come about? Balancing academic and spiritual growth. America is a long, long ways. It has come a long ways since 1962 to where it is in 2018. And I know it would be a radical thing for Christians to stand up and say we're tired of God being removed from our society and from the public arena, and we want God back in the place. And I understand that's not something that can happen overnight. It has taken us 60 years to get to where we are right now. So what in the world? We're not going to get any better if we continue to live our life disconnected with the reality of spiritual growth coordinated with academic growth. Well, my prayer was this would be a help to you. I want you to understand education. I want you to understand what our young people are facing. I want you to understand the severity of the consequences of the next generation that knows not God. Because it's only going to get worse. And so let's pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you for grace. Lord, I prayed you'd help us to know when to stand, how to stand, where to stand. I pray, God, that you might have the number one priority and role in each of our lives, whether it's personally, whether it's in our family, whether it's in our children, grandchildren, whether it's in our church, whether it's in our society. God, help us to incorporate all these things together, that the name of Jesus will be lifted up, that our life may be at peace, that we might be able to see and enjoy the anointing and move of Almighty God. Bless us, Lord, as we close the service in Jesus' name. Amen.